Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see y'all this morning. I looked over at Josh. He started praying. I just walked in. He started praying. I'm like, is that it? He's like, yeah, that's three songs. I'm like, wow. Oh, it's good to see y'all. It's been a good morning, exciting morning. Last night was really good. Showed the movie. Showed me the Father. We had, I don't know, upwards of 80 men here in the church. It was really good. Had lots of our own, lots of visitors, lots of people from the, you invited people, and I appreciate you doing that. It was really good. And for you guys that watched it, it's an interesting twist, isn't it? It was, you don't see that coming, and it's really, really good. But the message in it, I think the timeliness of the message there of fathers and men and I was sitting there thinking a lot. Remember last week, this is for you who are in the first service. I transitioned to this in the second service. This is an actual baton. Remember last week I had a water bottle. This week I've got actual baton. It was a little better visual. Second service last week had the actual baton. But in watching the movie last night, it is a challenge for all of us to not just take it up, but to pass it along, to be walking in a manner worthy of the name of Jesus, just like the shirts that we wear in the baptistry there is to, we should carry our lives, men, women, boys, and girls. Guys, we are to be living our lives in such a way that the world sees Christ, even if they don't know the Word of God, even if they have no access or have no godly influences in their lives, they should be seeing Christ in us, lived out on a regular basis through the words that we say, through the actions that we take, how we conduct ourselves, how we respond to all that goes on in society. Because you know it, you live in the same world as I live in. You see the same post on Facebook and every other social medium there is. That it's a messed up world out there. But how are we living? How are we carrying ourselves? Listen, what you say matters. How you respond matters. How you carry yourself matters. The responsibility, remember from last week, is real. The responsibility that we have as believers, as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one that we can call our Father, our Heavenly Father. We have a relationship with us, and He has brought us into His family, and He has made us His very own. What an awesome, awesome privilege that is. This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me over to the book of Joshua, at the very end of it, Joshua 24. If you look at our church schedule, if you look at what's going on inside the bulletin, really beyond today, I mean, next week is, Palm Sunday, then we have Easter. If you look at our church schedule beyond this week, it's almost, I don't want to say programmed, but it's like, this is the conversation. You got Youth Sunday, and you got Father's Day, and you got Mother's Day, and you got all of these days and holidays and events and things, and we've had an opportunity. It's been fun. It's been refreshing for me to be able to stand up here on, not just on Wednesdays when we're reading through God's Word together as a church. And I pray that you're up to date. I pray that you're reading along. It's really not hard. It's what, two chapters a day at sometimes maybe three, but usually two. Not hard to stay up. Yeah, we're doing some bouncing. Yeah, we're jumping and doing this reading plan. You get through the Scriptures pretty quick. I mean, think about it. We're to there already. I mean, it's amazing. But also, the first quarter is gone. January, February, March is gone. Not getting it back. It is gone. Time is flying, period. Gone. All right? And some of you are thinking, hey, well, I need to start thinking about my yard. I need to start thinking about what I need to be planning. I need to start thinking about all of these things because time is passing. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there's something far more important than any of that. Guys, we've got to start thinking about it. We've got to keep on the forefront. And I know I rattle on, and I pray that I'm not the only one in your life that's rattling on regularly about how you've got to keep Christ first, about how you've got to keep the Word of God central in your life, how you've got to keep how, look, you have and I have a responsibility to pass something to the next generation. And what is it? Who cares if they know how to change oil? Who cares if they know how to run the ball and throw really fast? Who cares if they know how to do all of these worldly things but do not have a good foundational understanding of who Jesus is? Guys, I don't know who else is telling you that. Hit a golf ball straight, throw a baseball fast, run hard, make every tackle, make good grades, get a great job, get an awesome wife, get an awesome husband, get a great job, get a great, all these things, and think about what I just went through. Think of the progression. God is a holy God, and He's a jealous God, and He wants every bit of you. God loves you so much, He's blessing you, He's giving you abilities, He is lavishing His grace out on you. God is so awesome. Look at how God is blessing you, look at how God is blessing your team, look at how God is giving you, God is giving you abilities, God is giving you strengths, He's letting you throw the ball. The only reason you throw the ball straight is for His glory. The only reason you hit the ball straight is for His glory. The only reason you make good grades is for His glory. The only reason you're alive today, it's good to see you. We're so glad that you're here. But the only reason that you're alive today is for His glory. That's how we change the conversation. That's how we keep the conversation going. Guys, because here's the problem. If we don't keep the conversation going, let me tell you, there's a tiny verse that's not here. There's a tiny verse that's just like a few words for many walk. I don't think I preached that up here, but I think about that often. There's a lot of examples out there in this world for all those around us and all of us to be following. There's a lot of people walking. There's a lot of people giving examples of how to live. But unfortunately, those examples have Christ nowhere in them. Are you walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, as those shirts say? Are you living your life? Is that attitude pleasing God? Is that outburst pleasing God? Is that how you want to act? Is that the person you want to be? Is that the human you want to be so that the world, is the world seeing Christ in you? See, here's the problem. When we don't have that vocabulary, when we don't have that conversation, there's consequences. Apathy has consequences. You're like, what is apathy? I'm like, I'm glad you asked, because I have a slide. Let's read it together. Apathy is the lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. Just pure and apathetic. I just don't care. That doesn't concern me. That doesn't bother me. That's not my issue. That's not my problem. That's not in my wheelhouse, because my job is an X. My social responsibility is X. My weekend, my free time is X. None of all of this stuff really matters, because they'll get that somehow. They won't. They're going to get something. Oh, they're getting something. The world around us is catching something, but what are they catching? We're passing something, but what are we passing? What is it? Apathy, lack of concern, no care. That's preacher talk. That's Sunday stuff. That's religious. I'm not a real religious person. I'm just, you know, I got just enough of Jesus. I got all of Jesus I want because I want heaven. You're lost. If that's all you've got, I got enough Jesus because I got Jesus, I got heaven, I was a kid, I asked Jesus to save me, haven't lived for Him, haven't thought about Him, I get convicted and feel all funny on Sundays, and I feel really funny right now when you kind of bring it up and throw it in my face like that, but beyond that, nah, I don't really care much about it. There's a consequence to that. Hit or miss. There's consequences. I want us to read. I want us to just look at what Scripture says. Start in Joshua chapter 24, beginning verse 1. Church, I know we're reading something that's, a couple thousand years old, and you say, well, that old book, that's apathy. Don't bother me. That don't put food on my table. I don't pay my bills. Don't mean nothing to me. Look, I got a nice vehicle. I got a good family. I got a good house. It ain't helping me none. It's just something for y'all to fuss about. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. I could stop right there and ask the question, just a question. Who gets more time? If you were ranking, how much time does God get? That much time? Does He get an hour? Does He get 6 hours? Does He get 12 hours? Does He get 12 minutes? Verse 3, then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir and to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst, and afterwards I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. Basically, Jacob here is recounting what took place. That's what we read. Remember, Moses leads them out. Pharaoh changes his heart, changes his mind, pursues them. God through used Moses there. God spread open the sea. The children of Israel walked across on dry land, and the chariots and the Egyptians followed in, and God closed the waters on top of them. At this point in time, toward the end of Joshua's life, Joshua was literally about to die. This is his farewell speech. This is his goodbye. It's his reminding. It's reminding the children of Israel of the covenant that they have with God. Look at verse 13. It says, I gave you a land on which you have not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. God blessed you. God has lavished His goodness out on you. Verse 14, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Make a choice. Serve foreign gods that aren't gods. They're carvings, they're graven images. Or serve the Lord. It's a choice. Choose you this day. Make a decision. Choose. Choose. Go over with me to Judges. Just flip the page, or may even be in the same opening. Look at Judges chapter 2. Beginning in verse 6. Sort of picks up over in Judges. It sort of picks up exactly where we were. When Joshua had dismissed, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6. When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord. Listen, church. Apathy has consequences, and here they are. And you say, well, that is an old book. No. This is a very relevant conversation for the time. The people served the Lord, verse 7, all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done in Israel. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Listen to this, church. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done to Israel. So Joshua passed to his people, and his people, somebody's got to keep passing. One of the saddest verses in all Scripture. And there rose up another generation who did not know the Lord. Whose fault was that? The preacher, right? The paid man. It's the preacher's fault. I could take every single one of you and slide you over and fill up one complete row and half of this row right here, and I would have 2.5 sections of this church completely empty at this very moment. I'm not going to do it. I've done it more times than y'all want me to. To prove my point, there's room for more. Ain't my fault. I got room for a lot more. I even got a second service. I do this all over again so that we can refill this thing half full one more time. We refill it half full, just like we half fill it this time. No, just like we two-thirds fill it this time, we're going to two-thirds fill it again, so it ain't our fault. Preacher, you got to get to work. How in the world could a generation rise up that does not know the Lord? Look at what happens. Look at the consequences. Notice verse 11. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Remember, that was a challenge that Joshua laid out on his farewell address. Look, if it seems disagreeable to you, then go serve the gods over there. Go serve those useless things. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. And they heard that. And it seems like they did that. But somebody stopped. Somebody quit telling. Somebody quit sharing. Somebody just thought they would get it through osmosis. Because another entire generation rises up that does not know God, and they start chasing the Baals. They start chasing the Asherah. They start doing this silly, useless stuff. They were dying in rebellion to a holy God. And they were entering in a place to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place that was created for the devil and his followers. Keep reading. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord their God. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples whom were around them, and they bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baals and the Asherah. They turned their back on God. They ran after useless things. Verse 14, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hand of their enemies around them so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was. This is pitiful. The hand of the Lord was against them. I never. Who in the world am I? Who in the world are we? Who in the world are we to even dare to find ourselves in a position to where the hand of the Lord is against us? Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, and the Lord had spoken, and the Lord had sworn to them, so they were severely distressed. We look at society. We look at the world. We look at the next generation. We look around us. And we ask the question, we say, this world's going to pick how you fill in the blanks. What are you doing about it? What's that definition again, Ty? No. There it is. I don't care. Not my problem. Don't concern me. I got mine. It's unbiblical. If you're a Christian in this room right here, the souls of those around you should weigh heavy on your hearts. The souls of your family, the souls of your children, the souls of your co-workers, friends, classmates should weigh heavy on your heart. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he wept. He was broken. God himself was broken over that. They have no interest. That don't get me too excited, preacher. That ain't none of my concern. I'm fine. We wonder. Last week I passed it around to every single one of you, and every single one of you, the question, it's your turn, it's your turn, it's your turn, it's your turn. That was funny, wasn't it? That was a funny morning. Preacher did a funny thing. That was interesting. Silly preacher. Made me pass. You know what that preacher did Sunday? He made me pass a water bottle to my neighbor and said, hey, it's your turn. He passed it all the way around. Second service, he stopped it right here in the middle and he drunk the whole thing in front of us and said, forget about them. Who cares? No concern. Who cares? None of my business about the rest of them as long as I got mine. Let me ask you a question. When I'm saying this, This is not entertainment. When I'm saying this, what is your spirit saying? This isn't Sunday mornings is not one of those things to where you hear it and you're like, what's he going to say next? What's he going to do? He's going to pass his baton around. Wow, that's cool. What's he going to do next? Wow, this is interesting. What are you thinking? What is the Spirit putting in your spirit? Here is a picture. Let me tell you behind the scenes of what just took place. The preacher just showed you a picture of what can happen if we don't do what we're supposed to be doing. And here's the thing. It's not just Bible talk. It's not just this old silly book talk. No, look around us, church. Look around us. It should weigh heavy on our hearts. No, we can't reach them all. I said this and I thought about this, and the Lord put this back on my spirit this past week during staff meeting. We talked something similar to, not really this, but part of this. And I thought about that story. It's been said many times. You've probably heard it, about the little boy that's out on the seashore, and he's, you know how sometimes the little turtles will come climbing up on the seashore. Little boy is walking down the seaside and he's just picking up turtles, just thousands and thousands of turtles, and he's picking up turtles and he's throwing them back in the water. Old man comes by and he said, "What are you doing, boy?" He said, I'm saving all these turtles." He said, "You'll never save all those turtles." He picks up a turtle and he throws it and he said, "I saved that one." Picks up another one, and he said, "I saved that one." Apathy is like, I don't care about no turtles. I don't care about them folks around me. They can die and go to hell all 10 lifetimes over. I don't care about none of them. Ain't none of my business. Ain't none of my concern. I could absolutely care less. I care less what folks think about me. I could care less what they think about my speech. I could care less what the Word says. I could care less about, listen, nobody is paying my bills. Nobody is clocking in for me and giving me their paycheck. I'm going to do what I want to do. That has consequences. That's not who you are as a Christian. As a Christian, the lostness of this world, the depravity of this world, the brokenness of this world should concern you, should have us passionate about how we can reach them, should be something that you and I are interested in. We're interested in how our sons and daughters act. We're interested in how they're carrying and conducting themselves. We're interested in the people they're running with. We're interested in the groups that they are off in. We're interested in the next generation. We're interested in how in the world is my life impacting the generations? How is my life impacting the world? Or how is my life impacting my family? Apathy is a plague. Apathy is a sinful plague. Father God in heaven, God help us. You see our walk. You see our lives. You see our heart. God in heaven, help us not to sit down on the blessings that you have given us. God, help us not to just simply go through the spiritual motions. God, help us to live in a way and walk in a way that's worthy of your great name. God, forgive us. Lord, I pray that this day, not just in this moment, but God, day. As each one of us, God, can find a quiet place, can sit down, maybe watch something, or maybe listen to something, or maybe take a nap, or maybe go for a ride, or maybe just get away, or maybe just have a conversation with a spouse, or maybe have a conversation around the table with the family and say, look, y'all, that message this morning, is that me? God, it has consequences. God, it has consequences on the souls of those around us, on the generations to come. God, don't let us just play a game. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Convict us. Holy Spirit of God, convict us, Lord. Don't let us go through the motions. Don't let us play the part. God, help us seriously have concern. Be interested. Be passionate. And Lord, live in our lives in such a way that our lives matter, God. We want our lives to matter. God, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.